So I went to a Bible camp, Medicine Lake Bible Camp. And there I confessed Jesus Christ as my Savior, July 10th, 1945. I came home and told my dad about what happened, and he was furious. He was so upset. He didn't want to hear anything about the gospel. Well, no, he loved his sins. He loved the sinful life. Well, we grew up poor. We were unhappy. We had nothing. But I found Christ. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." I think of the assembly there at Wauwatosa and wonder, will there be children born of God to a 100-year-old assembly? Will the desire to reach the lost be as strong as it should be? You can answer that. We want to see people come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus, who died for the sins of the lost. Okay, the Lord Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. And after I came to know the Lord Jesus as my Savior, I wanted to tell people. I know we have courses in evangelism, and young people today are occupied with all kinds of technology. But is there a thirst? Is there a love? Is there a desire, even in the assembly today, to reach out to the lost and see souls won to Christ? I was playing with my friend Jimmy Dykes. The United States was still at war. And we had built a foxhole in the trench. We were shooting our stick guns. I said to Jimmy, would you like to be saved? He said, "I don't know what are you talking about? I'm 12 years old. I came to know the Lord Jesus. I memorized John 3:16. The week after my salvation, I'm witnessing to a friend in the neighborhood." And he and I prayed together. And he asked the Lord Jesus to be a Savior. Is there that desire in the heart? I know. We want people to come to know Christ. But we're the light bearers. We're the ones who are to tell them. And I'm sure many of you are doing that, but some of you may feel kind of dried up and saying, "Well, I've got so much on my plate." You're almost like Abraham. Will we see any fruit? Will anything really happen next year, the 100th year of the assembly? Make it a promise. Make it a promise to God. Yes, we're going to see results. We're going to reach out as much as we can to our neighbors, our friends. I know there's a pandemic. People are stuck away in their houses. It looks impossible. But God can do great things. It was a great blessing for Abraham. Not only could he have a child, but that child was a blessing to the nations. And to think, I was the first one who came to know Christ in my family. And then not another brother of mine accepted the Lord, then another brother, then another brother. And seven of the nine children trusted Christ as Savior. The two oldest boys never did. And finally, my mother and father trusted Christ as Savior because we wanted to get the gospel out. Now, it's true that the Milwaukee Assembly had a great vision for missions. Remember Ed McCulley? He went to Ecuador. He was going to be a lawyer. He tells his testimony crossing the campus at Marquette University. He said, "Lord, if you want me to go, send me." He was influenced by Jim Elliot. And they went to get the gospel to the lost around the world. And you know what happened to Ed? He gave his life because he obeyed the command of the Lord to go into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples. Maybe you hesitate. You want to do it, but you miss so many opportunities. We all do. We know we should make the gospel known. The chapel has sent out missionaries to make the gospel known. The chapel has had Sunday night gospel meetings, but things change. And things the way we used to do don't work as they once did. So we can't have open air meetings like we used to have. We don't have Sunday evening meetings like we used to have. But that doesn't mean we lose our vision. That doesn't mean that we don't change our ways. Our Sunday school, your Sunday school is wonderful. It's an outreach. It's booming. And God's going to bless the assembly if we keep our minds set on reaching out to the lost. Now, I want you to think about that as individual believers who love the Lord Jesus. What do you think you're going to do? Will you be part of the blessing of God and saying, "Sure, we're going to see sons and daughters born. We're going to see people come to know Christ"? It's easy to find fault. And you might say, you might even address the elders, "We're not reaching the lost. What's wrong with you? Why aren't you doing the job?" Well, why aren't we doing the job ourselves? Why aren't we reaching out? What happened? Do we love the sinner? I remember when we went to Quebec to try to reach the French culture with the gospel. And I remember when we went into the Gaspé Peninsula, the first time the region had been visited by people who were preaching the gospel. I remember that first house we stopped at. And I was with Jacques Jolin. I was struggling with my French. I could say some things, but I didn't know the language well enough. We got on that porch of that first house. We rapped on the door. And a woman came to the door. And she said, "What do you want?" And Jacques said, "We're here to tell you about the love of God. And my friend here wants to tell you about how he knows the love of God." And he put the ball in my court. And I looked at the woman, and in the best French I knew how, I told her the wonderful good news of salvation, that the gospel was open to her directly. She didn't need to go through a priesthood. She didn't need to go through rituals to find the truth of the Lord Jesus' salvation. And remember how we knelt down, she and her daughter, Jacques and myself, on her porch, and she trusted Christ as her Savior. The Lord wants to use us. Keep our eyes open. Keep your mind alert. Get the gospel out. That's the first W I want you to think about. Win souls for Christ. The second one is found in John chapter 4. and verse 21. This is something that the chapel has taught me as a young man, as a teenager. This is why we have this wonderful breaking of bread. To worship God. But we don't want to get away from the Lord Jesus. We got to be very careful in selecting whatever scriptures we read, whatever references we make, that they're all directed toward the person of Christ. John 4:21. Jesus said to a woman, "Believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." There is a dimension of our lives that needs to be nurtured continuously. And that is the dimension of praising God. So the Lord Jesus tells this to a woman, a Samaritan woman, a deep, deep truth of life. And that's why it's so wonderful that this worship is open to all those who love the Lord. It's not only for a few, those who preach, or those who teach, the elders, the deacons, they're the only ones who, no. This worship is open to men and women according to the scriptures. That we open up our hearts to Christ, that we see him in his glory, not the glory above, but the glory as a man. After all, the breaking of bread services emphasize Christ in his earthly life. His body, his sacrifice. He died to set us free. He gave himself as a ransom for our sins. I've been in meetings where much of the ministry in the meeting is directed toward us. I was in a meeting once where a man got up and he talked about, isn't it wonderful that we have access to God, how he has changed our lives, how he's done this for us. Everything was about us. And the Lord Jesus is waiting for us to express our love to him. Those who worship him, who worship the Father, we do it in spirit, our spirit, and truth, the word of God. But it's always directed toward him. I've been in meetings where I can live a better life, Lord, if I come to this worship. That is not the purpose of the worship, of trying to live a better life. This is our expression, the expression of our hearts to the one who gave himself for us. Let's make this clear in our minds. Worship is giving. Giving to God praise, honoring his person, honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not there to make apologies. We're not there to talk about our sins. We're not there to talk about ourselves. See, we're to reach the world. We're here to help others come to know Christ as Savior. And now as worshipers, we're here to worship him, to uphold his name, to bring glory to the God that we love. So I asked Gus, as a young fellow, after they had baptized me, and I said to Gus, "Mr. Quint, I'm coming to Sunday school, but are there any other meetings?" He said, "Of course, yes, there is. There's a prayer meeting on Tuesday night and there's a breaking of bread. Well, can I go? Well, yes, of course. I went to the prayer meeting. It was all inspired by the prayers of God's people to the Lord, interceding on behalf of each other and of the world. And then I went to the breaking of bread. And I sat there. And all these prayers and all these hymns directed toward the person of Christ. So a week later, I talked to Gus again. And I said, Gus, can I participate in breaking the bread? He said, of course you can. And I remember that Sunday. My heart was pounding. I was 14 years old. I stood to my feet and I said, Lord Jesus, I love you. I sat down. People began weeping. We need to express our feelings toward the Lord Jesus. In the meetings that we are attending now, and I'm sure you're doing the same, we had a wonderful breaking of bread today. But there is a feeling in my heart that I need to address some of the young men in the meeting. Tell the Lord Jesus what you think about it. Don't be anxious to share some scripture with the rest of us. Focus on him. We need to be focused in our feelings, in our intellect, on all that the Lord Jesus accomplished for us. And he will bless our lives in spite of the fact that we're not looking for blessing. In this meeting, this wonderful chapel, in the way they conduct their meetings, has taught me a great deal about worship. Win souls. Worship God. During the pandemic, it's a wonder as we sit, some of us alone, some of the shut-ins, some of you are shut-in. We can't be in the fellowship of the assembly, but we can be in fellowship with the Lord God. We can reach out and speak to him and walk in his name according to his purposes. We need to worship God together. We're family. I've been part of this family for 77 years. There have been people praying for us, telling us they're praying for us, and giving to us. You've been supporting us all of these years in a wonderful, godly way. We wouldn't be where we are without having the influence of the Wauwatosa Chapel in our lives. And then there's a third W I want you to look at with me. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Yes, win souls. Absolutely essential for good living. Worship God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but worship the Lord Jesus in the breaking of bread. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. The Lord has sent people to the assembly at the right time. You know, Jim, Quint, I think of you when you were a little boy and your godly father. And I am thrilled how you did develop in your life and your walk with the Lord and to become, excuse me for praising you a bit, what you've become. An outstanding elder. Marty, knew your dad so well. It's good to see you in the meeting growing and developing in your godliness toward the Lord. And then the Lord sent Fred and Ruth to the meeting when they needed leadership and direction. John Duckhorn, when they needed ministry through the years. Returned missionary. What an addition he, and a positive influence he's been on the local church. I grew up with the McCullys, the Andersons, Wellscott. You're growing up with others who are godly men and women. But for the assembly to function properly, our private lives, apart from the assembly, need to be lives that are worthy of the calling of Christ. We've got to be careful what we say, where we go, what meetings we attend, what we watch, what occupies our time, what we're doing or not doing, what we're saying or not saying. I remember when I was in university at the University of Wisconsin, one of the directors of the group, a young man like all of us were, encouraging. But one day, these things happened. He worked in checking out in this meeting and checking clothes and coats and so on. A man came and said, could I have my coat, please? And he said, you've got to have the right ticket. Do you have your ticket? No, I don't have my ticket. Well, I can't give you the coat until you have the ticket, but it's hanging right there. And the young man lost his temper. Could happen to any of us. And I thought about that. What we do outside of the local assembly affects the worship and the outreach of the assembly. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy. And I remember Gus used to say to me, there are certain things that we should not do because they're not becoming to a Christian. There are rules that we have to follow, but we're not talking about legalism. We're not talking about keeping our eye on each other to make sure that you're living your life as you should, but to make sure that each one of us is walking worthy of the Christ who gave his life for us. Walking worthy so that those around us will see us and we're winsome and we can win people to Christ because of how we act, react, talk, our business associations, our schooling, our home situations, our family life. We need to walk worthy. Yes, we need to win souls. And the chapel has an agenda. It has good people throughout the years who have had meetings. And I remember the first time when I was 16 years old, I had my first boys' club. And the chapel approved of that. I had 50 kids coming to the boys' club. I kind of want to follow Gus in that avenue, reaching out to boys. He was a good mentor, good example for me to follow. And we have people in the meeting. I'm not trying to be leaders, but you look up to them. You admire their tenacity and their service for Christ and their attitude and their loneliness of mind. We need to be good stewards. We need to give, yes. We need to walk worthy. And in walking worthy, we don't do it with pride, egoism, look at me kind of thing. We do it with loneliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. For the assembly to function as a lighthouse in 2022, in the 100 years being existence, there has to be a fellowship, a oneness, bearing with one another in love. Sometimes we don't get along. Sometimes we have the difference of opinion. We don't tear each other down. We don't go in quietly and say, I think that so-and-so does such and such. Go to the person. If you have a grievance towards someone in the meeting, go to the person. You and two work together, work it out. Don't let it fester. Don't let it sink deeper into anger, indifference. We don't want to shun each other. We want to embrace each other. Endeavoring to keep the unity of peace, of the spirit, in the bond of peace. How are we doing? How are you doing? What do you look forward to? What do you look forward to for the chapel, for the elders, for the deacons, for each other, for the lost? How do you relate to worshiping in the spirit and in the word, in truth? Are you walking worthy of the Lord Jesus? Are you walking worthy of the calling of God in your life? Let's look ahead with hope. Let's look ahead with excitement. Let's look ahead with togetherness, joy, and peace in believing. We're one body. And we have the privilege of serving the Lord wherever he takes us, together, in prayer, in offerings, in godly living. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we think of what's ahead for this chapel and those who are in charge of important parts of the chapel's work, and those who are working earnestly in the chapel and in the Sunday school and in the renovations and the physical work. Pray for the elders. Thank you for them, for their commitment, for their love. Thank you for each member. Help them to walk worthy of the calling they've received from yourself. Help us to know what it means to be humble, what it means to bear one another up in love. Help us to realize what it means to pray earnestly in the Spirit. We thank you for your love, dear God. We thank you that we may worship, we may be winsome, and we may be worthy. We look to you for your blessing and give you thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Bob, for that message. If we could turn in our hymnals to 253, Silent Night.